That's right, we're back. We had to convene because we have to talk about Wish. Which this episode is going to be kind of weird because I've seen the movie. Jordan has not seen the movie. Right, Jordan? Although you did have like an opportunity, but it just fell through, right?
Yeah, I double booked myself so I couldn't make it. So I haven't seen it, sadly. But I do want to see it. I want to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah, and that's what I really want to talk about this movie, because I feel like it's a movie you can talk about without really going into spoilers. I'll just generally say, because this stuff I think is already out on the internet. It's obviously to celebrate Disney's 100th anniversary, right? It is, whatchamacallit? It was announced at D23 last year, formally. Stars Ariana DeBose, Alan Tudyk, Chris Pine. A lot of Easter eggs, Disney Easter eggs. Have you seen anything about the Easter eggs?
I know that there are Easter eggs, and I know that her friends are like based on the Seven Dwarfs or something.
Okay, cool. All right. So I could talk about that a little.
That's like it. That's like all I know.
All right. Let's take it back a bit. If you're new here, this is News from the Castle. This is like probably the best Disney podcast. No, I'm kidding. This is the best Disney audio podcast out right now, because we also have the Diz Insider show, which is like video and it's on YouTube. And Skylar, Derek, you're killing it. So glad to have you guys back. If you're not tuned into that, make sure you go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, because each episode they feature a rumor of the week, which, not to toot our own horn, but we're pretty on the nose with some of those rumors.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Some of them are like loosey goosey, like, but some of them are just like, oh snap, and then they end up getting confirmed by like bigger outlets down the road. I think the craziest one that I heard on the show, you remember when they said the Thing was going to appear in Miss Marvel?
Yeah,
but even they said, see, this is the thing, this is why we call them rumors, that we had heard from some sources that it was possible. We couldn't get it absolutely confirmed. And that's why it's a rumor. That's what a rumor is. But enough about them. If you want to know more about them, please check out the YouTube show, as I said, the Diz Insider on YouTube. But I want to talk about Wish. I think I'm ready to talk about Wish.
I'm ready to talk about Wish.
I'm so ready. So, all right. I'm going to give my brief thoughts on the movie. I liked it. I didn't love it. Not Disney's strongest animated film. Or as you change your background to Agatha. It's not.
Oh, I forgot she's in that.
You just had a picture of Jesus and Agatha.
I meant to be Jesus in the middle.
You guys got to see this. It's great. So it's weird for me. I don't know, because there's a lot to admire about it, but at the same time, there was one review I saw that's called it completely soulless. Another person I follow said that I absolutely detested it. Compared to some of the other animated films this year, it's an absolute shame. That's another thing I've seen. Like Disney should be ashamed of themselves. Bob Iger should be ashamed of themselves. That it's the least memorable Disney movie, animated Disney movie in recent memory. And I'm like, not gonna lie, but I kind of felt that way about Encanto. Like all those things that I'm seeing said about Wish, I kind of felt about Encanto. Like I get the whatchamacallit, the familial trauma, family trauma, all that stuff that was explored there. But like, except for the music, I thought it was just an okay film. And I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling here, but I think the same thing is going to happen with this. We're like, I think that, and I can't believe Encanto's 2 years old, right? Because last year, A Strange World came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think was even worse than Encanto. I think a lot of the hate that this movie is getting should probably be geared towards Strange World, because that movie was just like a generic. I think it might have worked better as like a live action idea, truthfully. But I say all that to say that I'm like 90% sure, and we can talk about this later, that this movie is going to find life on streaming. But we'll talk about that later. I'm curious to hear your thoughts because you've not seen it yet. So it's kind of like you're in the weird position where you're like, oh, I love Disney. I can't wait to see it. But wait, what are people saying about this movie? I can't believe it. What are some of the craziest things you've heard? And what are you scared for? And when it comes to this movie?
The craziest thing I heard is probably what you just said about it's what is it, a shame they said, or they should be ashamed? Is it that bad that the filmmakers have to be ashamed of themselves?
Here's the thing, these are like veteran filmmakers though. Like the Chris Buck, Jennifer Lee, Fawn Viswanathan or something, I forget how to pronounce her name, but like these are like people who have good track records in Disney and Disney animation. You're saying these people should be ashamed of themselves? I will say the story is probably its weakest aspect. Just because the whole idea, and you'll see like the whole idea of wishes are almost like currency in the movie. And it's kind of like, it requires a lot of, how do I say, suspension. It requires you to suspend your disbelief quite a bit. And like, there's a lot of lore that it's one of those movies that opens with a book. They're like, once upon a time. And then it literally opens.
I was hoping it would, because it's the 100th.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, I mean, Shrek did it too, so it's something you haven't seen before, something you have seen before rather, but
Shrek was parodying Disney.
Yeah, Shrek was parodying Disney though, but like it's too, when it opens that book, it says this happened and this happened. Oh, and you need to know this in order to understand the rest of the story. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's also giving you homework.
It gives you, yeah, like in the first 5 minutes. And then even after that, the way things are and the way people enact and react to the wishes and the whole lore within the film, that I'm not sure stuck the landing for me. But when it comes to the music, when it comes to the performances, there are two songs in this that I'm like, one of them is definitely like the We Don't Talk About Bruno of this movie. And the other one is just like, or, and I'll say like, I hate to say it like this, but I feel like it's the only way you're going to understand how I felt. Chris Pine's singing voice, my wig was snatched, Jordan. Okay. Bro, I had to look him up. I was like, this guy's never sung before. No recollection of singing in any of his other films. And this man blew me away.
Into the Woods.
Was he in Into the Woods? Oh my God, I'm probably going to lose my Disney card.
He was Billy's brother. How can you forget?
I forgot.
He was Cinderella's prince.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But it's not my problem, okay? Because Into the Woods is kind of a forgettable live-action Disney musical.
Most live-action Disney musicals are forgettable.
True. Johnny Depp's in that too, right?
That's right, yeah.
That movie's mad. That's super forgettable. But honestly, I was very surprised with like, and like, I don't even remember, because Chris Pine singing that, you're saying?
Yeah, he has like two songs.
He has two songs in this. And honestly, I'm going to remember these, because his voice is just so like, it's like silk. It's so good. I was like, man, this guy needs to do a solo album. I would listen to a solo album. Or he needs to be in more musicals or something, because he's known as like being Captain Kirk and what, Dungeons and Dragons now, right? And I sound like a total like shill for Chris Pine right now, but look, I'm just saying, he did really good in the movie. I say all that to say that he did really good. The supporting cast was also really good. Rami Youssef is in this, Harvey Guillen. There's a couple of other people who, and this is like a, within the Disney, not Disney lore, but like Disney fandom. There's a lot of people who have played in Disney movies and Disney projects that cameo as voices in like the overall choir. James Monroe Iglehart. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
He played the genie on Aladdin on Broadway. Yvette Nicole Brown. Shout out to Yvette Nicole Brown. She's like a total Diz Insider fan. And we would love to have you on this podcast if you're ever free and available. Yvette Nicole Brown.
Oh,
love
God,
you.
Yeah.
She appeared in Disenchanted, I think, most recently.
Yeah, and I saw on Twitter, so I I will have to look up her name. I can't remember it, but a Disneyland cast member is in it as well. A former Disneyland cast member plays one of the friends, I think. Like, she's like built her way up to the point where she was
Oh,
in,
that's so sick.
She was in Aladdin in Disneyland, the show, I think.
Oh, listen to this. Evan Peters is in the movie, which blew me away.
Evan Peters, who's that?
Quicksilver from...
American Horror Story.
Yeah, American Horror, you know, Phil of the Future for all the old school Disney fans.
Phil of the Future?
Yeah, that's where you gotta start.
He's in Phil of the Future.
He plays his male best friend in the show.
Oh my God, I'm gonna have to rewatch clips.
You're gonna have to go back.
I used to watch that show. I do not remember him in that.
Yes, that's where like he got, that was like one of his first projects. But Evan Peters is in this. When I saw his name in the credits, I was like, no, who else? Oh, well, this is a lesser known one. J.D. McCrary, who played young Simba in The Lion King, the live action Lion King. He appears in some of the songs. Like there, this is like a, like if you really dig deep for like a hardcore Disney fan, this is like, oh my God, injected into my veins. Oh, and some of the Easter eggs are really cool too. Like I audibly gasped. There was one character who appears, and it's not the one towards the end for those of you guys who saw it, but there's one character that appears at the end of a song that I was like, oh my God. It's in it, and there's other like little characters that appear here and there. Like, if you want to talk about how
that's exciting,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. And like, it's getting, I think, too much hate, when all for the wrong reasons. I will say my biggest con is probably the plot. The animation is also weird. It feels like at first it tries to be like the new Spider-Man,
yeah,
Hurt Ninja Turtles thing. I read somewhere that the initial idea was to have the star to be 2D. Don't think that would have worked at all.
I was going to say that from what I've seen, I'm really put off by the animation because it's like, I don't want to say they're half-assing it, but it's like they're just doing, it looks like the standard animation that they've had for the past 10 plus years with like Frozen and Tangled,
and it is,
but they've just bolded the outlines to make it look a little bit different to kind of invoke the Spider-Verse feel a bit without actually leaning into it a bit more.
I'm not gonna lie to you, with the exception of like the first 5 minutes, you don't really, the 2D kind of disappears. Like,
yeah,
there's a couple of moments in the beginning of the movie where you notice like, oh, some of this is 2D, some of this is 3D. But then as the movie goes on, it definitely leans more into the 3D. And you kind of don't, like, I don't know if the blending was that good that you just didn't notice it. But, like, I honestly, to me, this is, like, 95% 3D movie. Like, it is 90, like, it's like Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, all those.
It feels like it's them testing for future.
That's exactly what
film.
It is.
It's just such a shame they would do it on their 100th anniversary film.
Yeah. And I love what I know we're going all over the place here, but I love what Tyler, who reviewed the movie for the site, said. Like, why didn't we just get a Mickey Mouse movie? It would have made the most sense. The character literally goes into public domain like in 30 days. Like, just do it. Like, go all out with Mickey Mouse. Prove to the world that this is why he's your creation. Give him his own movie where you just go all out with him and his friends. But no, they just create a wholly original and wholly original story. And I did see somebody else on Twitter talk about this. Say, and I want to hear from you after you see the movie. It feels to me like they're trying to make a new mascot with a star.
Oh no!
Like, oh, the star is adorable, dude. The star is top five. One of my favorite animated sidekicks ever.
Okay.
I'm telling you, there's a lot to really admire about. Like, I feel more excited talking about the movie now because I've had so much time to digest it. But I do, I will say, I think there's a lot of misguided hate on this film. And I don't know. What are your thoughts? I've been talking for a minute.
I did see a TikTok that I agreed with where she was theorizing why the songs aren't very good. I've heard this. I haven't really listened to the songs, but I've heard that they're not good. Like most of them, is that true?
No, I like the songs. So the first song is a dud, I will say. It's not catchy. It's not like, Like, even the first song in Encanto, like I said, I think all the music in Encanto is really great, but that's because it's Lin-Manuel Miranda. Here, yeah, it's Julia Michaels. No shade to her, because she's done stuff. She did the second Wreck-It Ralph movie. But not all the lyrics are catchy. The main song, which I assume will be the one that they push for the Oscar, This Wish, which is like Ariana DeBose's, like, you know, thesis of the movie. Like, yeah, you know? That one's okay. She has a duet with Chris Pine early on, which I like, because it's like them talking about their deepest desires, and they're both talking about two different things. It's really well done. I really like it. Then there's like the showstopper, which is when the star is introduced. Then there's Chris Pine solo, and then there's like
that one.
I like that stuff. One. I really, that's one of the ones that I think it could be like the We Don't Talk About Bruno, because it's so ridiculous and over, and it's so catchy. Like, I could see it being that's on the radio.
That's the one I see getting all the hate.
Really?
Yeah.
But you know what? It kind of works, because that's him playing into like being the ultimate kind of villain. So I think it's supposed to be a song that you hate. And I think I love that it's so catchy. And then there's another showstopper. It's kind of like, you know, before the climax. There's only like 7 songs in this movie, actually. But I like the music for the most part. Like I said, I think the first song is probably the weakest. Everything else, I was like, oh. And I really like the one when the star comes in. That's the other one that I think is the We Don't Talk About Bruno. And I'm telling you right now. Sorry. I'm telling you right now. When this movie goes on streaming, and I mean, we could make a bet. Pretty sure it's gonna be Disney's Christmas gift to the world. It's
the way it's
because,
going,
and we'll talk about the box office in a second. But I'm pretty sure that for Christmas, a lot of people are gonna be talking about it, and I don't want it. I don't think it deserves to win Best Animated Feature. But I think it's going to help its case, because the same thing literally happened with Encanto. Encanto came out. Nobody talked about it literally for like the 3 weeks that it was in theaters. And then it came out on Disney Plus, and everybody's like, oh my God, pop culture phenomenon. We Don't Talk About Bruno went viral. So I could see it happening here.
That also plays into Disney's the way they've shot themselves in the foot, because there's theories online. And I kind of think it could be true that a lot of people aren't going to see Wish because they know it's probably just going to be dropped on streaming like sooner rather than later, and everyone's saving their money.
Now, that is a very good point. And that I could talk about that forever. As a parent, I went to see it in theaters because, you know, I have 2 kids. But I also went to go see Trolls the week before, and I don't think that helped either. The timing of it all was terrible, and I've spoken about this a million times on this, and I think Bob Iger just released a statement the other day saying, we're going to focus on quality over quantity, because they really screwed up their slate this year. To release an animated movie the week after Trolls, which is like one of the most popular franchises right now, animated franchises, release it 2 weeks before the Willy Wonka movie, which is another family movie from the director of Paddington that a bunch of families are probably going to flock to see, which, speaking of flock, comes out a week before the new Illumination movie, the migration one about ducks flying set. Like, it's the timing of it was awful. If anything, I would have released this in the summer, or I could have easily seen it like maybe instead of doing Pixar in June, this could have been like, I could have seen this as like a really cool June movie. I get that they wanted to push for more of an awards kind of season thing, but I agree. Another reason why I think it's going to do well on streaming is because there's movies have gone up. Tickets are really expensive. Parents don't have money to go to the movies, so they're probably just going to wait for it to be on streaming. So I think you're right.
Yeah, and with Disney as well, I don't think it's much of a rule, but remember they had that rule a little while ago where films were only in cinemas for like 2 months. But then
45-day window or something, right? Or like a 90-day window, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously everyone just kind of got used to that and still used to it. Because, I mean, like you said, with trolls, everyone's going to be picking and choosing what they're going to see, and the bad word of mouth for Wish isn't helping it. And I feel like Disney really kind of, with Wish, the marketing, they really leaned into just their name recognition with Disney rather than leaning into the film itself, which, you know, isn't a way to market a film that's not based on any IP these days.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I do think I will say this because me and Amber spoke about it a lot when it was first announced after D23, how the way it was marketed and sold was that it was going to be based on the Wish that other Disney movies have relied on or like have used, like Pinocchio, right? Aladdin. Like, there's a lot of Disney movies where characters have their wishes granted, and wishes come true, and I thought it would have been I'm satisfied with the final product, don't get me wrong, but I think it would have been cooler if it went the route that they were kind of alluding to, that like we would have seen this star across time, space and time within
Yeah.
the Disney universe. So yeah, I don't know. We shall see. We really shall see about how it does and what audiences will see. I think this is going to be a movie that I do think finds legs. I'm surprised that they didn't do Premier Access. I think this could have even done well with Premier Access. What do you think about that?
I think it probably would have done. I don't agree with Premier Access personally because I don't like how we pay for the subscription and then they're asking us to pay like £20 for a film that's going to be put on there anyway, eventually for free.
True. Yeah.
But I feel like, but Premier Access was popular and I feel like this probably would have been popular on that, probably more popular than films like Mulan.
At a time where Day and Date is doing well, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Do you think something like that would have helped this film? I think it might have.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But I feel like Disney don't want to try and do the Premier Access thing again. But Day and Date, where you could probably rent it maybe or buy it the same day, I think would have helped for this film. Especially how leading up to it, there was already a lot of negativity anyway. Like, especially when the villain song was released on TikTok, people were tearing it apart. And TikTok is like the place for marketing nowadays, especially now that they're not on Twitter. Disney, they stopped tweeting.
Of course they
But
did.
I don't know, I do want to see it, but I'm not like screaming to see it. But I, now that you said the stuff about the characters that appear, I like when they do that, so that's made me a little bit more excited.
Yeah, and I think that makes it good for like rewatches. So I think it's people will benefit from multiple rewatches, although like I said, the plot is probably not the greatest, but it'll be
Yeah.
cool to be like there is a moment in the film, and you could tell me if you spot it, where something's happening and you could see like a Mickey Mouse, one of the Mickey Mouse ears from the parks, right? Which the parks are notorious for, with all they have Mickey Mouse ears everywhere as like Easter eggs. The movie, so let's go into the box office real fast before we wrap this up. 175 million to 200 million was the budget. How much do you think the movie has made so far, Jordan?
Oh, and that doesn't include advertising.
Does not include advertising. Which they've gone pretty heavy for. As you recall, they had the Wish Wednesdays for like every Wednesday for the past 2 months where they release a song and nobody was talking about it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, they sent me emails every week. Yeah, look, this is the new song from Wish. And I would be like, oh, okay. I think I only covered like the first one on the website, honestly. And after that, it just faded into obscurity. But you had to guess how much money as of right now. It
Oh,
is.
it's going to be it's less than 200 million, isn't it? I
It's
can imagine.
so all right. I'll give you two shots. Give me a
Okay.
domestic number and a worldwide number.
Okay, domestic 120 million and worldwide 230 million. I have no idea.
Oh my God. Domestically, it's only, and this is, we're recording this, it's the end of November. The movie came out maybe a week ago, over a week ago. To date, domestically, it's made $32 million. Domestically, worldwide, just under 50 million. That's including domestic.
That's worse than what I said.
No,
And Hunger Games, it's been out the same amount of time, and it's already
all Hunger Games is killing it, bro. Back.
Yeah.
So internationally made like 17 mil, and then domestically made 32 for a grand total of just under $50 million. That's a quarter of what it costs to make. Yeah. Which is no wonder Bob Iger putting out press releases. Oh, well, under the Chapek administration, oopsies. So
I just love his quality over quantity line, because I just feel like that should be just the normal rule. Like,
yeah, say what you will about Zaslav, but I feel like that man has the opposite problem, where he has a bunch of really good movies, but he just tosses them for tax breaks.
Yeah.
It's not like he has a bunch of shitty ones spread across the whole year.
Yeah.
But he's got the Wonka coming out, which I've heard really good things about, The Color Purple and Aquaman. And two out of three of those are probably going to make a lot of money. Actually, all three are probably going to make a lot of money, but at least he's releasing them, right? That's the thing.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Aquaman's not going to Max, the way they've been releasing the DC films anyway, yeah. Just kind of releasing them with no...
And it's the last one. It's the last DCEU, yeah, technically. So I think that would have made the most sense, honestly. But yeah, the quality over quantity thing seems to be his default nowadays, which is kind of getting annoying.
It explains a lot about the crap that's been on Disney Plus, though, that they've dropped on there.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, Disney Plus, as a platform, it works. It's just like, you know what it is? They're trying to balance out, because they know they have so many classics, right? They know that their existing catalog is good, but they're trying to bolster it up with some new classics. And in the process, they've just made utter crap. I'm trying to think of, like, Goosebumps, I thought was really good, right?
I liked the start, but I thought it kind of got boring towards the end.
Which you know, is bound to happen. But, like, then they do... this is the thing. Then they add a bunch of, like, random stuff to try to appeal to other people. And it just doesn't work. Like, no shade to Ed Sheeran or Elton John, but I didn't really want to watch a documentary about Ed Sheeran.
Nope.
I didn't care too much about Elton John's live performance.
See, I want to watch it, but it's like 4 hours long. And I don't know if I can sit through a concert film that long that isn't Beyonce.
but here's the thing. It's like, I agree. I think they just, at this point, it looks from an outsider point of view, total outsider, that they're just making stuff just to make it and see what sticks. Whereas opposed, like, the thing about the Beatles was really cool. Here and Now, I don't remember the name of it. And I think a lot of their international stuff is pretty cool too. There are some shows I've seen that are like, oh my God, like, this looks really cool. And then I find out it's like a show that was made in Colombia or France. And I'm like, oh, I wish they would have marketed this, because Netflix has had a lot of international hits. Squid Game, yeah. Prime example. So it's just like, I don't know if it's an internal thing. If it's, as I said, maybe they're just making so much to see what sticks, and then they're not following through. A lot of issues.
They need to get out of, I don't know what you'd call it, like their Disney Channel trap, because I find a lot of their live action films feel like Disney Channel movies, even yes. when they have higher budgets. And I find those films incredibly difficult to sit through, because they just feel low budget and awful. But with the Disney Plus ones, you can see there's a budget there, and yet there's still kind of that Disney Channel feel that it just makes it feel cheap.
Prom Night,
and it's
like, right with the AI.
Yeah, Prom Night, Sneakerella.
You leave Sneakerella alone.
The worst title in the world, honestly. Oh, I could name so many. Hocus Pocus did kind of have the Disney Channel feel, but Hocus Pocus
it worked. 2
was still kind of, yeah, it still kind of worked. Yeah.
I will say, like, there are some really good ones. Don't get us wrong. I really enjoy Chang Can Dunk. I don't know if you happen to see that movie.
No, I haven't.
Blown away by how good it was. I feel like that probably would have done well if it had, like, a little bit of a push on, like, in theaters or something like that. But I agree with you. There's like a Disney Channel to Disney Plus pipeline where I feel like there are certain movies that are written for Disney Channel and they're ultimately like, nah, let's add a plus sign to the end of this and just throw it on streaming.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many good material out there that they could pull from to make really good Disney Plus content. Like, I can imagine a live action or even an animated remake of Bedknobs and Broomsticks is overdue, and that would be perfect on Disney Plus.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, right?
That would be pretty cool.
Or I would even, if I was Bob Iger, I would greenlight a new Alice in Wonderland animated remake.
They have a lot of classics. What, Recess? I would like to see a Recess remake.
At oh, yeah, but they're bringing that back, aren't they? They're reviving that as a show. I've
heard about that for years. I'll believe it when I see it. Pepper Ann? I don't know if you guys...
Pepper Ann.
Pepper Ann? Lloyd in Space? I'm bringing back the old ones. Fillmore? Have you ever seen Fillmore?
The detective, right?
Oh, yeah, he was like a hall monitor or whatever. He solved crimes in elementary school. That shit was great. I ate that up. Yo, they honestly fudged up with not doing more with the Power Rangers. Franchise. Truly untapped franchise. But now we're really going off topic. We just got a couple more minutes here. Let's go back to Wish. Final thoughts. When are you planning on seeing it? And when can the Diz Insider fam expect to hear your thoughts? Because I'm really eager to hear your thoughts.
I don't know. I don't know when I can go see it. Maybe next week.
Are you going to see Wonka before you see Wish?
I was meant to see Wonka on Monday. I had tickets for a press screening, but then my cousin literally was like, oh, I have tickets to see My Neighbor Totoro, the play. And I was like, oh, well, fuck Wonka. I want to see that.
You don't want to see Timothée Chalamet? Literally eat. He's literally, you see what I did there? He's literally going to be eating. You see what
literally eat. Oh, well, I mean, I sat through his gay film with the orange. Is it an orange?
It was a peach. And it was called peach. Call Me By Your Name.
That's it, yeah. So when you say, when you say Timothée Chalamet eats, it has so many different layers because you got the peach, you got Armie Hammer, who's a cannibal. So that's what I think of.
Oh my God, I forgot about Armie Hammer. Oh my God. All right, this took a dark turn. You know what? I'm going to end this. Star of Cars 3, Kenneth Branagh's most popular film, A Death on the Nile.
Oh, I watched A Haunting in Venice, and I was actually pleasantly surprised at how good it was, because I thought the first two were awful.
So it is, I think, the best of the franchise, but the third act kind of threw me for a loop when he starts to be like, oh, I noticed this and this, and then he reveals who the killer is, and I'm like, bro, you took so many different leaps. Like, we need to take it back, Poirot, okay? But it's cool. I would like to see that. I could see that franchise, like, pumping out, like, another three films or something. He's enjoyable.
Yeah.
He's good. And plus, it's cool to just pluck a bunch of random stars and throw them in a whodunit every few years, especially a period whodunit. So, yeah. We should probably do a Poirot episode at some point, comparing the past films to the present, but... All right, I think we're gonna end this episode. Bottom line, go see Wish for yourself, decide for yourself, don't listen to the critics, because if you're a real Disney fan, I think that's who the film was made for, and I think ultimately it's something that might not be perfect, but I think it has a deep enough meaning and, you know, just a deep enough love that was like stitched into it that, you know, you might be able to enjoy for yourself. I hope that makes sense. So, any final thoughts from you?
What is next for Disney Animation Studios? Because we know are they still working on Bluebeard? It's not like announced, but everyone knows they're making
Bluebeard,
that.
Bluebeard, Princess and the Pea, those are the ones that we heard. We had some heavy rumors for Princess and the Pea. But as of right now, totally unclear.
Oh.
So we will we'll just have to wait and see. D23 is next year. I'd be surprised if we didn't get an announcement before then, but also considering the quality over quantity thing, it kind of makes sense for them to take a step back. So we'll just have to see and enjoy Pixar's stuff in the meantime. So that's a good place to end it, I think. Thank you guys so much for listening. thank you, Jordan, for taking the time out of your day to sit with me and, you know, just really just BS about Disney, as always. Always a pleasure. And you guys know where to find us, thedizinsider.com, for all the latest news, interviews, reviews, all that good stuff. And here on News from the Castle every week. Take care.
Bye.